This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news, a major victory against the HHS mandate. We're going to give you a live report.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And welcome back to Hannity. In a defiant act against Obamacare, the arts and crafts chain called Hobby Lobby is refusing to provide its employees with health insurance that includes access to emergency contraception because it violates the religious beliefs of the company's owners. And as a result, they can now face a fine of up to $1.3 million per day.
Well, let me say, Sean, I mean, first of all, we just won one of these cases actually just moments before coming on the air out of the Seventh Circuit. So we're 3 for 3 at the Circuit Court of Appeals.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
When you look at Justice Sotomayor, it's not a shock that she agreed with the Obama administration's HHS mandate when you look at her policies.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
This is an affront to religious liberty. $1.3 million a day starting on Tuesday if you choose not to violate your religious conscience, which for the Hobby Lobby is just for abortifacients. That's all they don't want to cover in these plans.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Last day of the year of 2012, and we've got some exciting news. I'm in our media center. Jordan and Than are in our offices in Washington, D.C. Late on Friday, we got word that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit issued a critical ruling temporarily blocking the abortion pill mandate, the HHS mandate. The appellate court stated, listen to this quote, "The religious liberty violation here inheres the coerced coverage of contraceptions, abortifacients, sterilization, and related services," and they were very specific on the words, the religious liberty violation at issue here. This fundamentally is a religious liberty case. We won at the Seventh Circuit. We are 3 for 3 at the Court of Appeals. Every client that the American Center for Law and Justice, that the ACLJ represents on these HHS mandates, no one is having to comply with it right now. We are beating the Department of Justice, which means we're beating the Obama administration in court. The Hobby Lobby case was represented by the Beckett Fund. They've said so far they're not going to comply, which will be a very interesting dynamic as well. We're taking your calls on a whole host of questions that you have today, whether it's on the Middle East, whether it's the HHS mandate, religious liberties, whatever it might be, kind of an open line day, last day of the year here. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me run through some victories with you. Seventh Circuit HHS decision, we won. Eighth Circuit, we already got one. Sonogram laws have been upheld because of your support of the ACLJ. We went to the International Criminal Court in The Hague representing Israel. This year, the ICC said the Palestinian Authority had no jurisdiction to proceed at the International Criminal Court. That was a huge win. We beat back the defamation of religion issue that was put forward by the Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN. Nurses cannot be forced to commit abortions because of your support for the ACLJ. Abortionists do not have a mandatory right to money from state government. Your taxpayer dollars, again, because of your support of the ACLJ. A young girl was told she could not use the word God in a poem. So we're going from very complicated cases, folks, right down to the sixth grade level. And because of your support of the ACLJ, she was able to do that. How about this one? A state said that Bible references in a Christian nursery school were harmful. We went to work on that case, resolved the Bible is not harmful and can be used in the Christian school. Shouldn't have even been a case in the first place. Whether it's nativity scenes on public land or Ten Commandments displays, you're seeing the fruit of your support for the ACLJ this year has been incredible. As I said, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We just got that win out of the Seventh Circuit. Folks, this is the last day of the year for you to participate in our matching challenge. Go to ACLJ.org. You support the work and appreciate the work of the ACLJ or this radio broadcast. ACLJ.org to make your online tax-deductible gift part of our matching challenge. You can also call and make your gift as well on the phones at 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And folks, it's the last day for our matching challenge. We're almost there. Go to ACLJ.org right now and make that online donation.
The American Center for Law and Justice has accomplished a tremendous record of success in 2012, protected the display of a memorial cross for U.S. veterans, defended religious freedom in classrooms across America, and on the international front, defeated false war crimes charges against Israeli soldiers. These victories could not have occurred without you, your support, and your prayers. With a new year comes new challenges. Our legal battles are intensifying to protect life. We remain committed to defeating Obamacare and Planned Parenthood. With Christians facing persecution in countries like Iran, we're also dedicated to working to free Christian pastors Saeed and Youssef. On this final day of 2012, we need to hear from you. Please support the work of the ACLJ. Your gift today will be doubled through our matching challenge. Here's the good news. We're closing in on our goal, just $300,000 away from making our year-end goal. We need to hear from you today. Make a gift online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
By the way, music provided by the in-house band here at Jay Sekulow Live. I'm not kidding. That's a group of us that occasionally, if you go to Facebook, we occasionally post something, and that's some stuff we cut last week. All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jordan Thanheim said are in Washington, D.C. We've got the fiscal cliff issues also, too, although I think they're going to cut some kind of deal. We're going to talk to Than about that in a moment. Folks, again, let me say right out here really early, please, this is the day I'm asking you for your support financially for the ACLJ. This is the last day of the year. We have a matching challenge up right now. We're within about, I think the number is about $300,000 of reaching our goal. That will be huge for the ACLJ. So if you can go to aclj.org and make that online contribution, we really appreciate it in any amount. You could also call it in at 1-877-989-2255. But the easiest way is to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Jordan, let's go right to the phones, and then I will bring Than and everybody in the conversation as well. Let's go right to the phones.
Yep, Charles is calling in on Arkansas from Arkansas on line one. Charles, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Charles.
Hello. I'm calling. I'm a longtime supporter, and
we appreciate that.
What you're doing? Can you hear me? Okay.
We hear you great. Like you're in the room with us.
I'm on my job. I work on a riverboat, and I'm gone a good bit. But here's other than calling our congressman, which I do constantly. What else can we do? I mean, as far
on the Hobby Lobby matter. Well, Hobby Lobby said so far, Jordan, you've been following it with, you know, first of all, let me tell you what happened. There, the Court of Appeals ruled against him, and they asked for a stay out of the Supreme Court. That's very rarely given. So that the fact that he didn't get a stay doesn't show a merits decision here. We've gotten stays in three courts of appeals so far. Hobby Lobby, or two courts of appeals and a district court. Hobby Lobby's lawyers have gotten some stays in other cases. Hobby Lobby, Jordan, right now says they are not going to comply and they're going to really test whether the government's going to go after them. And I think the government's got a problem here. It was an interesting article in our news package today saying that, you know, everybody's talking about the Hobby Lobby case, but the fact of the matter is there's been all these other cases and the Department of Justice has lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And when you look at the situation, I said this a number of interviews talking about the Hobby Lobby situation. And then you look at our cases. I mean, judges matter, who you come before, what circuit you're in. And so you see these decisions coming very differently from judges who are liberals, judges who are conservatives, who are not matching up necessarily with where you think they'd go ideologically. You can't predict it. And so I think, listen, Hobby Lobby hit some tough attorneys, tough judges. But this is the test. The Department of Labor would have to carry this fine out. I'm not sure that they've got anything in place to start collecting $1.3 million a day on a new penalty that isn't fully fleshed out yet by the courts.
All right, so what we're saying is we've got three victories right now, two in a court of appeals, one in a district court. Than, what's the mood on Congress with our friends on Capitol Hill. I know they're watching this really carefully. Of course, they got the fiscal cliff issues they're dealing with right now. But what's the kind of the zone and the mood right now?
Well, they're watching it very carefully, Jay. I got to tell you, they are awfully encouraged by our 3-for-3 record. That's something that they're paying close attention to. And one of the keys here, Jay, that I've been helping members of Congress with is messaging this properly. Because like you said in the outset, this is about religious freedom, not contraception, but it's also about jobs, Jay. The three companies we represent, 350 employees, Jay, they would face fines of about $10 million a year if they violated this. So what you're talking about is either 350 people out of a job or conscience is violated. We've been communicating that to members of Congress, and they're taking that back to their districts. I think America is really understanding what this is all about.
I think the Justice Department's got a difficult situation here, folks, and that is as we continue to bring more of these cases, by the way, we're talking about filing two more, in the next 24 hours, which will be probably 48 hours, because it'll be after New Year's. But we're talking about two more cases, and there's many more in the works. The more cases we file, the more difficult it's going to be for the Department of Justice and for the Labor Department to figure out what to do with this, because the American people are pretty much revolting on this HHS mandate. And the defense for it, you're going to hear some of the defense for it in the last segment of the broadcast today, the second 30 minutes of the broadcast. You're going to hear Jordan in a debate with one of these lawyers, and it ends up being about abortion. They always say it's not about abortion, and then when they get on the air, they say it's about abortion. So no shock there, but that's the reality of what we're dealing with. Folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Or open up our lines today. What's on your mind? What's on your heart? What are the issues you're concerned about going into the New Year's? We want to hear from you at 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Eric calling in from California on line 5. Eric, welcome to JSECIO Live.
Hi, Eric.
Thank you very much, and I want to wish you a Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
I want to applaud what you guys have accomplished in defending religious rights.
Thanks.
I'm very, very happy about that, and I support that. What I do not support is the attitude of Congress backing and supporting their president who was elected, and the people's voice was clearly heard about what they want. And
are you talking about like the fiscal cliff issues, the financial issues that the debate's going on right now as we speak?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, let me get you, stay on the line here. I'm going to go right back to Eric, but let me get an update from Than. Than, where are we on this?
Well, we still
Than
don't
heads
have
up our government affairs office in Washington, so I figured Eric would be a good person to tell us. There's no resolution yet, right?
There is no deal in place. There needs to be one by midnight, Jay. Otherwise, basically every American faces a tax increase. We also get these defense-heavy spending cuts. But to Eric's point on this, you know, he says the Republicans aren't coming the president's way. The House actually passed something that would avert this fiscal cliff. The president is the one, Jay, that has not been willing to put a single spending cut on the table. That's why there's no deal. But if there's going to be a deal, Jay, I think it's going to come out of these negotiations that are between Vice President Biden and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Neither Harry Reid nor John Boehner has been able to put something forward that can clear both chambers. So look at those negotiations, and I still think we're going to get a deal late tonight.
So, Eric, if in fact there's good faith negotiations going on between, as Than just reported, between the Vice President, Vice President Biden, and Mitch McConnell, maybe we can get a resolution. And let me tell you this, folks, I really hope we do get a resolution. Eric, I'm sure you're feeling you'd like to see this resolved as well.
I would like to see this resolved as well, but I don't think it's going to, because I think this is all about special interest.
Yeah, I've got more hope than you do, and I'll tell you why. The consequences of this, what Than just said, are so significant. Now, they may punt. They could do this thing, you know, 30 days, it's some kind of 30-day extension. And is that in the mix, Jordan and Than, right now, this kind of temporary fix and as they continue to deal with it, or do you think the deal has to be cut?
I think it's entirely possible that we see some kind of short-term solution, Jay, but I don't think it's very likely that we're going to go over that cliff for the long term, because like you said, the tax ramifications are just too large. Let me quickly say this. Not any deal is better than no deal, Jay, because we have this massive deficit problem, and if they pass a deal, a long-term deal that doesn't actually make any cuts or any kind of reforms, we're just going to make the problem bigger, and we're going to face the same thing whenever this comes up again.
Jordan, what's your sense on this? I mean, are we facing the inevitable here that it's going to be a 30-day or 60-day reprieve, and then we'll be back right at it again, or do you think they'll get a resolution?
I mean, that's been history. History has shown that. But there are motivations, especially for the president here, if you want to play real hardball politics, to look at this and say, you know what, let them keep fighting, let it go, and guess who's going to introduce the tax cuts for the majority of the American people? President Obama in the next congressional term. So it'll be the Obama tax cuts. And this could be a strategy. Risky, very risky, because you don't know what will happen to the markets in between that time. So I think when you look at this, there's politics at play here. But hopefully, I think even if it is just an extension, maybe that is politics as usual, I think that would be better than politics extreme, which would be no solution at all.
Well, we're taking your calls, folks, and we're monitoring that situation as well. ACLJ.org. Again, let me encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. This is the day to do it. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And we're going right back to the phone and say, folks, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Variety of calls, variety of comments. We're taking it now. 1-800-684-3110.
Brian's calling in from North Carolina with a question. Needs some help. Brian, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Good.
We're getting ready to go down to Atlanta to the it's the World Congress Center there.
Right. Used to live there. Know that area well.
The surrounding convention center. It's
right.
State-owned property. We wanted to hand out tracts in that area, and we're advised by the authorities, special police department, that they have to issue permits for that under an opinion, an unofficial opinion from the Attorney General of Georgia, that states that the authority has the ability to regulate activities on sidewalks and streets adjacent to the...
I've litigated cases at the World Congress Center, and anything that's, as far as literature distribution, is allowed on those public sidewalks. They can regulate time, place, and manner. So they could say this is the area as long as it's content neutral. You know, they don't want it to be impeding traffic and things like that, but they can't stop you from doing it. When are you going down there?
We were going to head down there tonight and be down there for 4 days.
When's the game?
The game's tonight, and then there's further events throughout the next 3 or 4 days.
Okay. Well, when you get, we've got lawyers that can help on this. Let me get you in touch. Well, actually, the best thing you do right now, just go to ACLJ.org, fill out the legal helpline, and you can go ahead and we'll get someone that can look at it for you. But you really shouldn't have any problem. We've won cases involving the World Congress Center in that area. I took a case to the Georgia Supreme Court years ago. Shouldn't be a problem. Jordan knows that area well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, folks, we want to hear from you. We want to, again, we need your support so we can help in these situations, so we can pick up the phones right now. It may be New Year's Eve. We're ready to go with our attorneys, ready to help Brian out. Folks, give us a call. If you can support us today, make that online donation at ACLJ.org or call right now, 877-989-2255. Fighting to the last moment of 2012 and ready for 2013. 877-989-2255 or make that online donation today at ACLJ.org.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at ACLJ.org. The American Center for Law and Justice has accomplished a tremendous record of success in 2012, protected the display of a memorial cross for U.S. veterans, defended religious freedom in classrooms across America, and on the international front, defeated false war crimes charges against Israeli soldiers. These victories could not have occurred without you, your support, and your prayers. With a new year comes new challenges. Our legal battles are intensifying to protect life. We remain committed to defeating Obamacare and Planned Parenthood. With Christians facing persecution in countries like Iran, we're also dedicated to working to free Christian pastors Saeed and Youssef. On this final day of 2012, we need to hear from you. Please support the work of the ACLJ. Your gift today will be doubled through our matching challenge. Here's the good news. We're closing in on our goal, just $300,000 away from making our year-end goal. We need to hear from you today. Make a gift online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking your phone calls from around the country again. We're in a matching challenge. It's the last day for you to participate in it, folks. And I do want to encourage you to go to aclj.org. Make the online contribution. It's tax deductible. Any amount you give, we get a match for. So a $50 donation becomes $100. $25 is $50. $100 becomes $200. You see how it works. We're close to our goal, about $300,000 away. We'll be sending out emails about it as well. So aclj.org. And if you want to call in your pledge, you can do that as well at 877-989-2255. But the easiest way to do it is aclj.org. We're going to go right back to the phones. We got a lot of calls coming, and we're going to keep answering them. Who's next?
Yeah, Mary Ellen is calling from Illinois online to Mary Ellen.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
And I just want to say thank you for all your work. I admire it. I try to spread the word.
Thank you.
I can't always donate all the time. I do what I can.
Thanks.
More important is all your listeners, we need to be praying for you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I will tell you, we get emails and notes and cards and people stopping me in shopping malls and in restaurants and tell me they're praying for us all the time, and it means a lot, and I appreciate that as well. So, Mary Ellen, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. This is the end of the year for us, and as you could tell, it's been a busy year end. I mean, we've worked right through. We had a cert petition, or actually an application for stay ready. We didn't know what the Seventh Circuit was going to do, so we were ready to take our case to the Supreme Court if necessary on the HHS mandate. Fortunately, we were successful in getting the stay, so we didn't have to do that. But again, without your support, without your prayers, we don't get to do this, so we appreciate you as well. And let's keep going phone calls.
Nick is calling in from New York on line one. Nick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Jay. Just a quick question.
Yep.
What are we going to do about our president wanting to hand 20 of our F-16 fighter jets and a bunch of tanks to Egypt? Those are the most prominent lethal weapons we have, and I'm very concerned about that.
You should be, and so are we. We've started a petition drive that is probably approaching 180,000 signatures, both online and on the phones, maybe more than that now, to basically stop that. I will also tell you this. Let me give you get the latest update from Than on this. Where are we with regard, Than, to the funds going to Egypt, and is anything gone yet of that $1.5 billion or $1.3 billion that has been allocated? Has any of that been released yet, or have we been successful in holding it back?
None of that has released, Jay, but there is some urgency here, because as soon as they get past this fiscal cliff deal, the ball is going to be in the president's court. And by the way, Jay, the delivery of those F-16s that he's talking about, that's scheduled in a few weeks. It has not happened yet, but as soon as we get over this fiscal cliff, we're going to have to pretty urgently go to Congress so that they can try to force the president's hand on this.
So where are we congressionally on that? I mean, I know there's been a series of legislation issued by a number of members. What's the most prominent and likely to go forward?
The most likely one is H.R. 6646. Vern Buchanan has put it forward. It would immediately suspend all aid to Egypt until they can certify that they are again acting as our ally. So that's what we're backing. It's not saying that it's gone forever. It's saying that it's gone for now until we can demonstrate that they are back on our side, they are operating in our interest, and then we can get it forward. But, Jay, it would stop the delivery of these F-16s, and that's really important.
Jordan, you know, you've been dealing with this Iran situation all weekend. Let's get an update on that, too. Pastor Saeed and Pastor Nardakhani, both in jail. What's the latest there?
You know, I noticed yesterday I did an interview on Fox News about both of the pastors. And the difference in the headline is it's not just Christian pastor in jail in Iran. It's Christian pastors. One is an Iranian citizen. One is a dual citizen, an American citizen. And, of course, in Iran, they consider him still an Iranian citizen. He has now been held for about 3 months in the worst prison in Iran. I mean, a blogger who was arrested late October, he survived 4 days. October 30th, he got into this prison. November 3rd, dead. And no court case, no charges. So every day we have to fight. His wife and family are here in the United States asking for the State Department to do a lot more. You know, as we talk about, why did the State Department say in their release when they acknowledged that they knew about his case that, well, we're trying to protect the family's privacy, while the family has decided to go on Fox News. And we've both been on with Pastor Saeed's wife. And so she, again, wants our government to do more, and, of course, needs people around the world to do more as well as we go into this new year. Every day is important. And Pastor Nardakhani, back in jail serving what may be 40 days because of paperwork. The truth is, anytime you're back in jail in Iran, your life is in danger, and we're monitoring that very closely. Don't want to escalate it too much and get too much attention on him until we know more about the situation. But remember, his attorney is serving a 9-year prison sentence in the same jail as the American pastor, the bad one in Tehran.
So Mohammed Daka, the attorney for Nardakhani, is in the same jail as Saeed.
That's right.
Wow.
So you've got
those are bad prisons.
Right. That's the worst. Basically, that's political prisoners, religious prisoners, and the top. And listen, Pastor Saeed, his story is out. He had about 30 or 40 house churches, 3,000 or 4,000 members. The Iranian government knew that. He said he stopped. And they let him continue to do this orphanage for a number of years, has made 9 visits with no problems at all. Suddenly, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard gets involved, and things change. But yeah, everything's changed in Iran the last couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you this, folks. You know, Mary Ellen was calling and saying she was praying for us. I encourage you to pray for 3 people right now. Pastor Saeed, Pastor Nardakhani, and attorney Mohammed Daka from Iran. That is something we should all be in prayer for them, and we're working on that as well. We're taking your phone calls. By the way, we're here for another 30 minutes. ACLJ.org is a great way. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, if you go to ACLJ.org, you can listen to it online. We stream it live. Or, of course, if you're listening on SiriusXM, you're already getting it. So we're going to go right back to the phones, but we'll be taking your calls in the next half hour as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
You know, Sharon's been on the line for a while. I'm glad she did that. Sharon's calling from California on line 6. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Sharon.
Thank you for all you do.
Sure.
I love you guys.
Thanks.
I have a question. My husband and I don't have medical insurance, and we're not in a position to afford it. So if we don't have it, how will the government find out in order to tax us? And if they tax us, when would that money come due?
Okay, that's a great question. It's going to be taxed through the Internal Revenue Service, the agency that is charged with collecting the tax or the penalty. It may be as simple as, I don't know exactly yet how they're going to make the determination, but it could be that they simply put it on the tax return. Are you participating in a health care plan, yes or no? And you put no, then they're going to say your tax amount is $2,400. I think it's $1,200 the first year, Jordan, then it goes up to $2,400 or something close to that. So
and there's other penalties involved. There's other penalties involved too.
So what it probably will be on the tax return is ultimately what's going to happen here. So, Sharon, that's the unfortunate part of this whole thing, but it's the law now, and we're going to have to deal with it. And it may fall on its own because the state exchanges not being set up, I think, really have hurt the ability for Obamacare to move forward. But look, folks, we're just in the infant stage of this, just in the beginning here. So we'll see how that goes. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot of you on the line. Stay on the line. Hang in there. We'll get to you in a moment. We'll be taking more calls after the break. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Now, folks, let me ask you to do something for us right now. We are in the last day of our matching challenge campaign. And we are very close to meeting our goal. We're about $300,000 away, probably a little bit less by now. If you go to ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, hit the donate now, your gift is doubled. So if you donate $20, we're getting $40. $100 becomes $200. $500 becomes $1,000. We had some people donate $5,000. It was, for us, $10,000. Just on and on it goes. So ACLJ.org is an easy way for you to make that gift to us. And it's tax deductible when you make it online. You could also call in your gift at 1-877-989-2255. Now, again, it's tax deductible, but folks, this is the last day to participate in the campaign. I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Help me keep these lawyers in the field here in the United States and around the globe defending freedom, liberty, justice. Freedom is important, folks. We're learning that more and more every day. Right here in the United States, we got to fight. 877-989-2255. You can call in your donation there, or you simply go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Make that online gift. Let me encourage you to do it today again. ACLJ.org.
On this final day of 2012, we need to hear from you. Please support the work of the ACLJ. Your gift today will be doubled through our matching challenge. Here's the good news. We're closing in on our goal, just $300,000 away from making our year-end goal. We need to hear from you today. Make a gift online, ACLJ.org.
broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls. And, boy, a lot of you have been hanging in there, so stay with us. We're going to get to your phone calls in just a minute. There was an interesting article in the in our news packet today, and it's just, I'm just going to give you the title of it. Let's Give Up on the Constitution. And this is a article written in the New York Times op-ed by a Georgetown, Jordan's alma mater, law professor. I don't know if you ever had Lewis Seidman, but he's basically saying, let's give up on the Constitution. It's archaic. It's, you know, out of date. I hope that's not what they taught you there, Georgetown. I know that you were there for international human rights, but it's interesting.
Yeah,
that
I try to stay away from most of those kind of classes.
Good idea. Good call. But anyways, folks, let's give up on the Constitution. Let's not. It's the best document for governance that we've seen ever. There's no other country in the world that has been blessed with the freedoms and liberties that we have here in the United States. And as we are at the end of the year, we need to reflect on that. We've got a lot of you have been holding on, so we're going right to those phones. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
Scott's calling in from Arizona on line four. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Scott.
Yes, hi, guys. I appreciate all that you do. And my question is this. I'm curious as to how it can possibly be legal for Planned Parenthood to take a third of $1 billion a year from our democratically controlled government and then turn around and put millions of dollars into the reelection funds of those self-same politicians that are ensuring they get their funds.
Well, this goes to the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Now, we've got two lawsuits against Planned Parenthood right now that we're litigating against them in Texas and in California for fraud. So we're going after them aggressively. Now, legislatively, Than, this has been an ongoing battle with Planned Parenthood and their funding from the government, which is, as you said, approaching almost a third of $1 billion.
Yeah, it's about $350 million a year, and the answer is it's a giant shell game for them. I mean, they technically can't use it directly on abortion, so they just move money around. They use other money to pay for the abortions and then use that $350 million to keep them afloat and to pad their pockets. And as the caller points out, their political wing also donates heavily to the left. So it is quite a scheme they have going on. But, Jay, in this whole fiscal cliff negotiation, this is one of the offensive things. Not only are we funding Egypt, we're funding Planned Parenthood, and yet we can't find money to cut from the budget. Those should be easy places to start, and yet we refuse to do it.
I gave up my list of fiscal savings that were significant. I did it in about 15 seconds. You want to save? I'll give you a quick $2 billion. Let's stop the $1.5 billion of aid to Egypt, right now controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood. That would be a good start. And then you could knock out another $500 million that goes at least to the Palestinian Authority, who's now bragging about the fact that they're in cohorts with Hamas, a terrorist organization. So let's knock that out. Knock out Planned Parenthood, and I'm about $2.5 billion already. And I could easily get to $3 billion just by starting. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be coming up in the fiscal cliff discussions that we've got. But instead, then, as you point out, we end up cutting defense. And we're cutting our defense, folks, as we're going to send 20 F-16s and 200 tanks to Egypt. Now, think about that for a minute. We're going to cut our military while we send 20 F-16s and 200 tanks to Egypt. If you want to stop that, by the way, you can sign the petition on that at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Jordan, who's next?
Yep, a lot of phone calls coming in. We got more time to take your calls if we don't go to you right now. Hang on the line. Lynn is calling from California with a comment I tend to agree with. Lynn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I just had the thought, you know, that this HHS mandate is, you know, unconstitutional, but also I think that it's a different agenda than actual birth control, because birth control is available on every shelf at every drugstore. It's elective, and it's, you know, it seems like everybody now has a cell phone they can easily afford.
Yeah, Jordan, you've talked about this too.
Nobody is bugging there.
You know, I did that interview on Fox News, and it was not supposed to be about abortion. It's about constitutional law. The whole thing was about abortion, not because I started it. The other guest, she said immediately, this is about trying to restrict abortion rights. Wait, I thought this is contraceptive religious freedom. What does it have to do with abortion? Everything, Dad. It has everything to do with abortion. We need your support, folks. Make an online donation. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org. Do it before midnight tonight. Support the American Center for Law and Justice. Our matching challenge, what you give will be matched. So double your gift at ACLJ.org. We need your support.
Thank you.
The American Center for Law and Justice has accomplished a tremendous record of success in 2012, protected the display of a memorial cross for U.S. veterans, defended religious freedom in classrooms across America, and on the international front, defeated false war crimes charges against Israeli soldiers. These victories could not have occurred without you, your support, and your prayers. With a new year comes new challenges. Our legal battles are intensifying to protect life. We remain committed to defeating Obamacare and Planned Parenthood. With Christians facing persecution in countries like Iran, we're also dedicated to working to free Christian pastors Saeed and Youssef. On this final day of 2012, we need to hear from you. Please support the work of the ACLJ. Your gift today will be doubled through our matching challenge. Here's the good news. We're closing in on our goal, just $300,000 away from making our year-end goal. We need to hear from you today. Make a gift online, ACLJ.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
I guess you could, coming out of Washington, D.C., I guess that's for Jordan and Than.
You know, I mean, I got to play this. We've been talking about fiscal cliff. We've been holding this soundbite. It was my favorite tweet of yesterday. We've been talking about a lot of tough cases. Watching into the game, I was happy to see the Redskins win here in Washington, D.C. First time in playoffs since 1999, so the city is excited going into the new year. But Al Michaels from NBC, you know, you can't get away from politics ever if you're playing it on a team in Washington, D.C. or watching it. You got to take a listen talking about the fiscal cliff, maybe someone who could solve it a little bit quicker.
RG3. Maybe he can solve the fiscal cliff. He's done everything else.
Well, we'll see how they now, realistically, and we're going to get to your calls, folks. Hang in there. What are the Redskins' chances of going further than the divisional playoffs? I mean, is it are they?
I don't
know.
When you're running back and put in a 200-yard rushing game and set a record, they're both rookies. You know, the quarterback, running back on the Redskins. It's a tough call. They're rookies, but and it gets tougher. But they've had a season comeback. They were 3-6. I mean, so this was a huge swing.
They've got the longest winning record in the NFC, 7 wins in a row. I have to tell you, though, I'm still in mourning because my Bears aren't in the playoffs. So
the Bears are not in the playoffs. I'm happy, though, that the both the Atlanta Falcons are and the Baltimore Ravens. So we're running here at the ACLJ on the football score. We're doing all right. All right, back to the phones we go, folks. 1-800-684-3110. And we're going to go right through these phone calls because you all have been holding for a long time. Let's go right to them.
Bonnie's been holding from Utah Online 3. Bonnie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I just had a question. You guys were talking about the fiscal cliff earlier, and one of your reporters was talking from Washington about, Obama's negotiations, and he mentioned that Obama hadn't made any cuts. And I think it's important to clarify for listeners what he meant by that, because I know that his negotiations did include like $1 trillion in cuts.
Well, it wasn't cuts. It was to not have increases in expenditures. But Than, go ahead. This is a legitimate question Bonnie's asking. What's the and Than Bennett, by the way, heads up our government affairs for the maybe new listeners to the broadcast and has been heavily involved in this. So Than, what were there cuts offered, or what's the story there?
There are two real answers to this. The first is what you just mentioned, that there are never real cuts in what's proposed from the president's office because they're decreases in increases, which he calls cuts. But I think what Bonnie's talking about is the initial offer that was put forward by the president was $1.2 trillion in new taxes and then $850 billion in reduced increases over the next 10 years. Of course, that was not something that was palatable. He has since taken that off the table, Jay. What he wants now is tax increases for anybody making more than $250,000 and no real spending cuts. And by the way, his party, which controls the Senate, has not passed anything. So that's where I was referencing that he's not offering any real spending cuts, and they haven't passed anything that would actually avert the cliff.
What's your thoughts on the situation? I think we're going to get either a resolution of it today or a 30 or 60 day reprieve, so to speak. It's going to be one of the two. I mean, I don't think we're falling off the cliff, but I mean, I'm really guessing at this point. Bonnie, what do you think should happen here?
You know, I think I believe what I think a lot of Americans want is just compromise. You know, it's like
get it done. In other words,
it seems like neither side is really willing to budge.
And yeah.
Now, regardless of who you support, I think it's really important for people to start making some concessions because we're the ones that are suffering in the
Well, I, you know, I'm with, I want to get a resolution to it as well. I think we need – and look, there's already going to have to be compromise, Stan, isn't that – I mean, reality is there's negotiations going on, so there's compromise. The question is, can they get a deal struck, which I think the American people – you're hearing – look, I mean, we're hearing from the people want a resolution to this.
Yeah, there's going to have to be compromise. I think there will be. There will be a short-term deal. I'm not confident that it will be a great deal. Here's one thing I would say to Bonnie, though. When Speaker Boehner put the potential for tax increases on the table, it almost cost him his speakership. So I think it's a little bit unfair to say that nobody is offering compromises because he put something on the table that was very politically risky to him.
Yep.
The president really hasn't put anything on the table that is painful for his base. I think that's a little bit unfair to say Speaker Boehner hasn't done the same.
No, I agree with that. All right, Ray. Back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Yep, Mike's been holding from Michigan on line one. Actually, Mike's calling. Yeah, Mike is in Michigan on line four. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mike.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Hey, isn't it a little hypocritical of Obama wanting to take guns here, but he wants to send tanks and fighter jets to the Muslim Brotherhood?
What to me is the most hypocritical is we're going to cut our military expenditures, cut our equipment and weapons to our own military while we give, for money we don't have, 200 tanks, which who are those going to be used against? Let's think about that for a moment, and 20 F-16s. And, Jordan, to me, that makes no sense. But the good news is, and Stan reported this earlier, so far on the funds going, we've stopped the funds as of right now, but the big test on those weapons is going to be next week when they're back and the fiscal cliff discussions are over. That's when the fight's going to be, and, boy, we're going to gear up for that one, folks. That is going to be huge.
You know, one thing, too, with this Egypt story, I think you saw this in news today, Dad. You've got this deputy leader of the Muslim Brotherhood who's saying Egyptian Jews need to return to Egypt. Now, this is after a Sharia law constitution passes. But on the same day, this the deputy head of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the same day, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, which tracks anti-Semitism around the world, ranked the Muslim Brotherhood, that guy's organization, the most anti-Semitic organization in the world. So you see this is, again, this strategy of demonizing the Jewish people, Israel, the statements they make. And, again, we're thinking about even considering sending F-16s and tanks when we can't pay our own bills here in our own country, and we're going to give them out to people could very well end up being our enemy.
And we're talking about pretty significant defense. If we go off the cliff, the fiscal cliff, what happens to our defense cuts then?
It's $550 billion over 10 years, and this is what's so offensive about the Egypt funding that Jordan was just talking about, Jay. First year alone, our defense budget would take $55 billion in defense cuts. So I guarantee you we're going to be cutting F-16s. We're going to be cutting tanks for our own military, and yet we're going to send $2 billion in tanks and jets over to Egypt. If anything, if we've got to make these cuts, we should not be cutting our own defense and sending them to Egypt, but that's exactly what will happen.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls. We've just got a few minutes left in this segment. Let's go right to the phones. Who's next?
Bob in California on line five. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, my question is, you go in history, President Reagan was Republican. He was able to make an agreement with Tip O'Neill, a Democrat.
Right.
President Bill Clinton was a Democrat. He was able to make an agreement, a deal with Newt Gingrich, a Republican,
right,
and Robert Dole, a Republican.
Right.
Bill Clinton could come to an agreement, and President Reagan come to an agreement. Then if Obama don't do it, he'll go down with
Here's what's happening. You said it, though. President Reagan was able to cut a deal with Tip O'Neill. President Clinton was able to cut a deal with Newt Gingrich. How come President Obama can't cut a deal with, in this case, John Boehner? Because he's not putting a deal on the table. I mean, as it stands right now. That seems to me to be, Than, at the end of the day, the biggest problem here.
Absolutely. We have to remember, too, that at the beginning of the campaign, the president said that he knew it was dangerous to raise taxes in a struggling economy. He has shifted away from that. But, Jay, here's my theory on this. I think part of the reason the president hasn't really put a real deal on the table is because if we go over the cliff, he really gets every policy position he wants. He gets massive tax increases. He gets defense-heavy spending cuts. So I think he actually isn't that concerned about going over the edge, and that's why he hasn't put a real deal on the table, because
I think
his
you're
policies
absolutely correct.
Went out.
I think you're right. Yep. I think that's why if you go over the fiscal cliff, the president says, hey, told you so, here's what's going to happen, and he gets it down the road a bit. All right, let's take another call.
Daniel calling in from Michigan on line one. Daniel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi. What is Obama going to do with the fiscal cliff for what is going on? Because it's continuing going on, and we are at $16.4 trillion, and yet he's not doing anything anything to do anything about it.
Jordan, what is your sense? I mean, I've said
what
I thought.
I just got this break that President Obama is actually going to be making a statement about this fiscal cliff at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. So,
okay,
is he making a statement saying there's no deal and or putting pressure on with these hours left? Maybe he's announcing a deal, maybe some kind of compromise, maybe nothing at all. You never know from these statements, press conferences, whatever it will be. But that's coming up very soon. 1:30 p.m. Eastern time, Wall Street Journal just put that on Twitter.
Okay, so what we will do is if you stay involved with us folks at ACLJ.org, if you go to twitter.com/JordanSekulow, we will be getting information out about this on Facebook as well. So let me encourage you to do all of the above. But let me also encourage you this, folks. This is the last day for you to participate in our matching challenge campaign. I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And make an online contribution in any amount we get a matching grant for. You can also call in and put it, make a gift as well at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. But the easiest way for you to do it is to go to aclj.org and make the gift online. And again, we're in our last day of our matching challenge. We're close. We're not quite there yet. Your support will get us to that point, I'm confident. But again, we want to thank you for your support this year. Continue praying for and supporting the work of the ACLJ. Again, aclj.org. And don't forget to pray for Pastor Saeed, Pastor Nader Khani, and the attorney representing Pastor Nader Khani, Mohammed Daka, all three in Iranian jails right now. And we're working on that right through the holiday here. So aclj.org again to make that online gift. That's aclj.org. Or 877-989-2255, but the easiest way is on the web at aclj.org.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice has accomplished a tremendous record of success in 2012, protected the display of a memorial cross for U.S. veterans, defended religious freedom in classrooms across America, and on the international front, defeated false war crimes charges against Israeli soldiers. These victories could not have occurred without you, your support, and your prayers. With a new year comes new challenges. Our legal battles are intensifying to protect life. We remain committed to defeating Obamacare and Planned Parenthood. With Christians facing persecution in countries like Iran, we're also dedicated to working to free Christian pastors Saeed and Youssef. On this final day of 2012, we need to hear from you. Please support the work of the ACLJ. Your gift today will be doubled through our matching challenge. Here's the good news. We're closing in on our goal, just $300,000 away from making our year-end goal. We need to hear from you today. Make a gift online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. This weekend, Jordan was on Fox News dealing with both the Saeed and Nader Khani cases out of Iran, as well as the HHS mandate. Take a listen.
Joining us now to talk about these two cases, Jordan Sekulow, Executive Director of the American Center for Law and Justice. Jordan, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Shannon.
We thought that the worst was over with Pastor Nader Khani. It sounds like he's back.
Christmas Day, I got the message that he had been arrested, summoned back to the same prison official. He got released. You know, he was 33 days short of a full 3 years in prison, but he put up bond and he did. It was a bail, basically. And that was in September 8th. Now, this is December 25th. Those days are over. He did the bond. He was on probation. No problems. Been traveling around, been talking, went back to life. And then on Christmas Day, the Iranian regime shows up and says, you're back in jail. It would have been the first Christmas he got to spend with his family in 3 years as two young boys and his wife. That didn't happen. Now, they're saying it's 45 days. He needed to do some paperwork, but he has very tough time here. No attorney. The attorney's basically in jail. So we're monitoring it closely, hoping that this is not going to escalate. But there's always that, you know, when you show up in an Iranian jail, you don't always come out. Mm-hmm. And we see that time and time again. So it's not a good thing at all.
But now we have the second case, which is with a Christian pastor again. He's Iranian-born, but he is a U.S. citizen. He was there visiting family. How in the world can they hold him?
32 years old. Dual citizen. Mm-hmm. His family's here, his wife, his two children, six and four, both U.S. citizens as well, born here in the country, was visiting his family. He runs an orphanage there, had made an agreement when he became a Christian and had some trouble with the Iranian regime, with the intelligence police, that he would not do any kind of evangelizing anymore if he could still come back and build this orphanage, not a Christian orphanage. And they said, okay, that was the intelligence police. This year, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard got involved. Same thing happened with Nader Khani. We've seen this shift in Iran, where it's no longer the police who are loyal to the executive branch. These are the ones who are loyal to the Ayatollah himself. This is the toughest. He is in the worst prison in Iran, the same place that Nader Khani's attorney is. He was being beaten by Al-Qaeda officials, people that were actually, so they were being held there because they're more extreme than the regime itself. I talked to his wife last night, who's in the United States. Naghmi has been on Fox News, and she said one great thing has been, and that he was able to communicate to his family, who's under house arrest in Tehran, that since Fox News reported this story, these Al-Qaeda, so-called Al-Qaeda, they could be Iranian officials, for all we know, just intimidating them. They are all out of the cell except for one, and the one guy is not going to beat him up. So that did not happen until this story went public. So there's good news. We also know the Iranian regime knows about this because their press is talking about it.
Tell us any help from the State Department or U.S. officials on this?
This has been interesting. The State Department needs to do a lot more. This is not Nader Khani, an Iranian. This is an American citizen. He has the same rights as you and I do. And he's in jail, national security crimes, very vague charges. This is a prison where a blogger got arrested in Iran in October. He survived 4 days. So every day is a threat to your life. And the State Department said, well, we're not going to say a lot more. They acknowledged it. The spokeswoman did. But we don't say a lot more because of the family's privacy. Well, obviously, the family's been on Fox News. They're talking about it. And we don't go public unless we have to, Shannon, because someone's life's at risk. The State Department's got to do more.
All right. Please keep us updated, Jordan, on both of these cases. Thank you for your work on them.
Thank you.
With Reaction, Executive Director at the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow, and Democratic strategist Tara Dowdle is with us. Tara, do you believe in religious freedom? I know you do.
I do believe in religious freedom. I'm Baptist, and I certainly respect my religion as well as the rights of others.
Mm-hmm. And the right to practice religion should not be infringed. I think I read that someplace. That's all true, right?
Yes, and that's why it's really great that the health care reform law does have a religious exemption.
The fact is it really doesn't. For example, if you're a Catholic hospital or a Catholic charity, or in this case of this chain, there are deeply held religious convictions of the owners. They're willing to provide health insurance coverage, but not this. And why would the government, Jordan, have a right to step in and tell them they must do something that's forbidden by their conscience?
Well, let me say, Sean, I mean, first of all, we just won one of these cases, actually, just moments before coming on the air out of the Seventh Circuit. So we're 3-for-3 at the Circuit Court of Appeals on getting these injunctions for not religious organizations, but private companies like Hobby Lobby. When you look at Justice Sotomayor, it's not a shock that she agreed with the Obama administration's HHS mandate when you look at her policies. But this is an affront to religious liberty. $1.3 million a day starting on Tuesday if you won't, if you choose not to violate your religious conscience, which for the Hobby Lobby is just for abortifacients. That's all they don't want to cover in these plans. These are known abortifacients. The congressional record has showed that. And it will be up to the Department of Labor, Sean. This is going to be very interesting to see if they're going to take that action to try to collect.
Tara, why wouldn't you support the religious right and liberty of this company to follow its deeply held religious conviction and conscience?
I disagree. I disagree with the whole premise of their argument. Their argument is that this is some sort of abortion pill. That is simply not true. It's not
an abortion
pill.
That's what it used to be
called. It prevents contraception. Remember, this is also about the contraceptive issue.
Excuse me, you had your opportunity to speak. I would appreciate the same courtesy. I would appreciate the same courtesy.
With your facts,
well, if you let me
facts.
Get them out, then I can be clear.
All right. Tara first, saying, one at a time.
Thank you. What I'm saying is that I disagree with the premise of their argument. Their argument is that this is an abortion pill. That is simply not true. It prevents conception. And remember, contraceptives are not just about avoiding pregnancy. Many women take contraceptives for medical reasons. I know I have plenty of friends that have to take contraceptives that have been prescribed
to them
by their doctors. For medical reasons,
truth.
So I have a gentleman.
These people
choose voluntarily
to work at Hobby Lobby. You have no constitutional right to work at Hobby Lobby. They've been working there for years. Maybe they're applying for a job now. They know this is something they're not going to get with their health care plan if Hobby Lobby is successful long term. Part two of this is not about abortifacients. This is also contraception, and it's about religious freedom. This is not about banning anything. There are people on our side of this issue, many of us, who have no problem with some contraceptions but have problems with abortifacients, others who have problems with all of it. The truth is, Sean, this is about penalizing people because of their sincerely held religious belief.
Tara, let me ask you this question. Where are you standing on religious freedom? You keep arguing about contraception. That's not what we're arguing here. We're arguing whether people have the right to follow their own conscience and why pro-choice liberals don't respect the choices of others, and why you would allow the government to force them to do something that contradicts their religious teaching. Why do you support that? I don't understand.
I support the law, first of all, as I stated, but I also support the right for people to petition the courts if they disagree with the law. There are many laws in this country that I don't agree with, and I have the right to petition the courts. And I have the right to petition the courts if I don't agree with the law. We're not going to all agree with every law that's passed.
That's scary.
I don't agree with the laws that restrict contraception use that are now being put forth in different states around the country.
I feel like those infringe on my rights.
Nothing infringes on your right to go get it, to work at Hobby Lobby, Planned Parenthood to give it to you. Nothing infringes on that right, Sean.
Contraception is an economic issue for many women.
Give it to you for free. This is about forcing an employer to give it to you for free.
Thank you both for being with us. Happy New Year to both.
Thanks, Sean.
Happy New Year.
That's going to do it for the broadcast today. But, folks, let me encourage you. This is the last day, literally, of our matching challenge campaign. It's the end of the year. This is one of our biggest days for support for the ACLJ. Let me encourage you right now to go to ACLJ.org and make an online gift of any amount. Whatever you donate is not only tax deductible and helps us out at the ACLJ, but we're getting a matching grant in that exact same amount. So if you donate $20, we get $40, we get $80. So I really want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and make that donation now. And we encourage you to do that. If you appreciate this radio broadcast, appreciate what we're doing here in the United States and literally around the globe, then let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. So your online gifts are really appreciated. ACLJ.org.
On this final day of 2012, we need to hear from you. Please support the work of the ACLJ. Your gift today will be doubled through our matching challenge. Here's the good news. We're closing in on our goal, just $300,000 away from making our year-end goal. We need to hear from you today. Make a gift online, aclj.org.